I will talk with you in general about that area, which will cover every age, not only teenagers or our youth. I will talk about, number one, peer pressure, number two, parents and family, number three, media, number four, materialism, and number five, responsibilities. So some of you, responsibilities is a great threat. Number six, which is really concerning the youth and teenagers, electronics and computers. And number seven, success. Success by itself could be a pressure. Success in life or academically. And to some of you, the pressure could be from within the church itself. I will start with peer pressure. In general, any pressure, in order to be able to cope with any pressure, you have to think of the topic of insecurity. Number one, insecurity. And number two, marital life. Either for the parents or your own. And number three, lack of assertiveness. Hazm. Lack of assertiveness. And number four, faulty thinking. هل بعضك احبائي من اللي قاعدين عاوزين اي ترجمه ولا ماشيين معايا؟ كلكم ماشيين معايا؟ Okay. I mean, in general, any kind of pressure, whether from within the family or from outside, we have to think, as I told you, of the issue of insecurity, our security or insecurity, our feeling of being secure, and there are sources for being secure or insecure. Again, about marital life, and then assertiveness and faulty thinking, negative thinking or faulty, which means the way I think of certain issues could be the incorrect way. Everybody is exposed to pressure. There is no one who is not exposed to pressure. But some people are able to cope with, and some are not. Some could get so stressed to the extent they would feel so anxious or so depressed. And some will not be able to achieve. They will stop achieving because of the stress and the pressure. And some could develop certain diseases in their own bodies. If they keep silent and they can't vent out the pressure, it leads to certain diseases in their own system, their own organs. Heart attack. So many heart attacks. And so, some will get stroke, and some will get psychosomatic diseases because of the pressures, and some will get skin diseases. Every system, we have about 20 societies in the United States which are researching stress and the effect of stress on human beings. Stressors or pressures. Pressure or stress affects mainly the immune system of the body. The immune system, which has a control in all the systems of your body. If someone has cancer and is exposed to pressure or stress, his cancer is going to spread all over the body. I mean, it's a faster way of reaching paradise. To be exposed to stress. That's why welcome to the spouse who is putting pressure on his or her spouse. I mean, he or she wants the other one to go to paradise. That's why she is there. She's nagging or he's nagging and putting pressure. So, environmental pressure. Who is responsible? I want to ask you. If someone, say, working in a hospital, a nurse working in a hospital, and then she will come and tell you, my blood pressure is so high, because the doctor is treating me in a bad way. Who is the source of the increase in blood pressure? The doctor or the way she's coping with the stress? Who is responsible? about the diseases which appears in us, our response to that pressure or the stressful outside, it is the environment, X person is the one who caused me that stroke. She is responsible for my heart attack. My children are responsible for my blood pressure. The title of the topic tonight is Coping. How do we cope with pressure? So the way I deal, the way I'm going to deal with the pressure or the stress is so important. So either I will get certain pathological effects in my body, or as if there's no pressure, the way I vent out the pressure or the way I cope with the pressure is so important. But everybody is exposed to pressure. Yeah, as an example, Abu Muhammad, I think if all the pressure we put on top of him, he's not going to. He's living the way he thinks with the Lord, and everything is going like a pagan. And somebody like me, maybe any kind of pressure would affect him. So there's a difference between people. Someone like Sayyidina, who is living his life with Christ and his spiritual life, he knows how to vent to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is different than someone like me who can't. Why someone will get so anxious faster than the other? Because he was not trained to cope with stress from our families. Yet I have listed for you sources of stress. Just to be aware, I said peer pressure, parents and family, media, remember? Materialism. What was after that? Responsibilities. That's I mean so much you can say to the target. Okay, who's after what after responsibilities? Computer and some other kind of entertainment, computer and electronics, and then success, and some time from within the church. I mean the church, which is the hostel we go to when God will heal us. For some of us, when they come to the church, because they don't know how to be with God, God was opening his bosom in front of us. When you open the curtain, you find the eastern wall, the Lord sitting, opening his arms for everybody. But we come to the church, maybe to look around, ready to be pressured. Ready to be pressured by anybody or by anything. And some will come here to vent to God and take him in the communion, and when he is coming out, you see his or her face showing the peace, the tranquility, and he will continue after the communion going home, where he will keep that peace or continue in that status of peace and joy. And some will prefer to lose that effect by being involved in his or her own lifestyle. with others. Okay, what kind of fear? Fear could affect everybody, not only teenagers, but in every age and in everywhere. If I am lacking the security, if I am lacking the assertiveness, if I feel I have to do something in order to be accepted by the peers, everybody loves to be accepted, respected, and loved. Accepted, respected, and loved. Everybody like that. And some of us, we do the best in order to be accepted by peers working at the workplace, or especially by the popular ones. I love to be accepted by the popular ones. Peers could put so much pressure on us. In order to accept us, I have to do something for them, or I have to conform to them. Conform to them. Although in the Epistle of the Romans chapter 12, it was clearly said to everybody, don't conform to the world. That's Shakiru Aladda. It was said to us, which means you are different than those who are living in this world, because you belong to another world. Although you are living here temporary, but you belong to another world. So don't try to conform. That is Shakiru Aladda. It's not a must for us to conform. But in a trial to conform, in order to be accepted by those around us in the world, sometimes we are pressured to wear as we are wearing, to behave as we are behaving, to drink and eat as we are doing. And think not only for teenagers, in high school or college age, but any man or any woman, if they are not from within secure, if they don't have a certain spiritual life, because the most important source of security is not what dad and mom have done to me. The most important source of inner security, the resource of security, is my inner life with the Lord Jesus Christ. So your life, your heavenly life, is the main source of your security if you are facing any stress. Which means I could talk easily, I could vent and on the spot to the one who could drain, the one who could drain from me that pressure. Come, O weary. Ta'ala ya mutabin. Come, O weary. Weary. I am ready to carry all the load from your shoulders. I still remember, of course, there are so many, but still remember a case of a doctor. She was young, a medical doctor, and she came to the United States in a certain program, 1 year program, and she left her husband and her two children in Egypt. Her parents were living in the United States while she and her husband and two children were living in Cairo. And just before coming, by 1 month, she developed cancer, breast cancer. And I remember she asked me where better to be the surgery. I told her better to do it here in Cairo, because if you go to the United States, they are not sure, the health insurance don't have a national system of health like England. So she went through the surgery and the chemotherapy. And when she came, she was very successful. She was very successful in the program she had joined. But she was thinking how to get her husband and her children to the U.S. because she can't live without them, thinking so much in that. And while she was thinking that, her mother got a stroke. She became paralyzed in the hospital. And she can't talk. It affected her speech, center for speech. And she was so pressured. That young lady, she was so involved with God. She was in Egypt serving in the church. And she's so nice. But she was unable to cope with that stress of thinking how to get her family and the mother she is responsible for in the hospital and the program she's working in another hospital in less than 1.5 years. She passed away. And I remember another case of a professor of orthopedic surgery, a lady, chief of orthopedic surgery in University of California, San Francisco. Someone who is working in surgery, an orthopedic surgeon, working in surgery day and night. She's really a tough lady. She doesn't fear surgery. And she got the pain, she got breast cancer. And she decided not to take chemotherapy and not to go through surgery. And her health deteriorated, so she was unable. She became unable to leave bed. The tumor in her breast was as large as a big grapefruit. Big size. Huge size. So heavy. And the lymph nodes under her arm was the size of a walnut. Huge. And she's deciding not to go through surgery for chemotherapy. She told her, "You are dying." She became so depressed and so sick she can't move. Of course, she stopped working. And she's determined not to. The skin of the breast was about to explode, to burst. So she asked a surgeon to come and just remove a piece of the tumor, only a piece, to release pressure on the skin. Nobody understood her mentality. Why is she doing that? She said, the problem is not in the tumor. The problem is in the immune system of my body. I'm not against chemotherapy. But I'll tell you her story. Just to keep it in your mind. That may be why she was sick and she stopped working for about a year. She researched all the books she knows how to cope with that sickness, the pressure on her body. How to increase the strength of the immune system of her body. So she reached the idea and the conclusion that there are three main factors which damage our immune system. Number one, the way we eat, what we are eating. And number two, dehydration, the loss of fluid in our body. And number three, stress. And she decided, if I will know how to deal with those three factors, I will cope with any stressors, and I will cope with the disease, and the immune system could by itself deal with the tumor. And in her research, which is something very important for any Coptic Orthodox to know, after searching all kinds of food, she decided, or she reached that, number one, the best kind of food for anybody, not only for cancer patients, is the Garden of Eden food. The food Adam and Eve were eating. And what was that? The Garden of Eden food. Exactly as our Great Lent food. The Coptic Orthodox Church Great Lent food. Which means no fish, no chicken, no meat, no egg, no dairy products. Somehow we know that. And we go through it and nothing happened to us. It's not something serious. You know the vegan, the pure vegetarian? A pure vegetarian. She decided that 60% of what we eat has to be fresh. Vegetable and fresh fruit. Plus grains. And if you eat bread, I'm talking about not a diet, I'm talking about someone with cancer. Breast cancer, which is fatal and she's going to die. The kind of food we eat is so important. 60% of the vegetable and fruit has to be fresh, and the other 40% could be steamed. And you could eat any kind of grain, rice, pasta, bread, whatever. But don't eat what is prohibited to eat in our Great Lent. So happy are those who are living all their life on that kind of food. And I'm going to tell you. And number two, she said, we have, in order to deal with dehydration, we have to do the following. Number one, to drink lots of fluid, especially water, just water. And she found, plus the water was very important, is freshly used carrot juice. You don't take care of the juice user. And please tolerate with me what I'm saying. Maybe it appears for some of you here in the church talking about that kind of food. What's important? As you're going to hear from me then. So, I said the food, the water, and the carrot juice. And she said it is good to exercise half an hour, which means just walk. If you can walk. And expose yourself to fresh air. If the sun, fine. If you are living in England, and most of the year you don't see that so-called sun, then at least fresh air. See, you have fresh air here. Correct? You could breathe fresh air. You are not living in a country all the year you have snow. Maybe the year, all the year round will not see snow. Once or twice. So you could go out. If you can. Just get a good breeze of fresh air. And it's a size just walk. Some prefer that bed men inside their home not to go out. Why? Go around the block. Just walk. That lady, someone was supporting her, and she could go just walking. Half an hour in fresh air. And thanks to California, we have sun maybe most of the year. And we have good fresh air. So what, which, how many they are taking now? The bird eating food, the water, the carrot juice, like a bunny, carrot juice, and then to exercise and be exposed to fresh air. And number six, to sleep an ample amount of sleep. 6 to 8 hours a day. And number seven, to stop the following: drinking alcohol, caffeine, or any street drugs, of course. If you are taking cocaine or heroin, stop it. If you have cancer, stop it. Then the main question is, but how about stress? I took 7 items till now. How about stress? Now focus with me on those remaining 3 items of the 10-item program. How did that lady was able to cope with her sickness? She found by herself that she was Christian, but she was not a practicing Christian. She found that if I will go back to a time of my childhood and read in my Bible, I'll spend some time reading the Bible every day. And pray. And to us, as Orthodox, of so many more than that, to fast, I said the eating is God of eating food. But where the communion? And the church is providing us with something which is not in most of the churches to get this pressure within us out. What is it? Giran. I hope you are doing it. Psychotherapists these days are saying regular confession is so valuable to deal with so many diseases. Just regular confession. I'm not talking from the church point of view, I'm talking from the therapeutic point of view. So that lady said, okay, Bible and prayer, issue number 8. What the other two issues to deal with stress? Number 9. She said thanksgiving and praising God. Thanksgiving and praising God. The cancer that is bad, okay? And our thanksgiving prayer, and I will tell you there has to be a list which we write for us. I say that to anyone I see in my therapy. You have to write a list about the issues for which you thank God. This will be an issue. You have to write a list. That lady, she had to write this list. Since she was a child till now, what to thank God for? And why she was praising God for thanking God, she was thanking Him for certain real events happening in her life. She was bedridden. And she was thanking God for so many things. And someone, he said, for someone involved spiritually, Bible and prayer, I'm not talking about the lady, and praising God and thanksgiving to God, what is the benefit of the stress coming from the TV? Your TV, is it giving you good news? Or all of them news which could get you down? What kind of news? I'm sure all the TV, especially in Europe, is much worse than US. It releases all kinds of adrenaline in your body. When you are exposing yourself to whatever program, even the news of war, the news of rape, the news of killing, the news of somebody who died, the news of planes and bridges which are flooded, whatever. It has to be something serious in order to shock you. So she decided not to view TV. And of course, it comes with it. All kinds of entertainment which could excite her immune system, and for which the adrenaline hormone secreted. The exciting news, or any excitement, and we are living on excitement. Just remember, unless it's very exciting, it will be boring, correct? Even sometimes we say our mental life is so boring. Even life with God became so boring for some of you. That lady, she prefers the boring, that kind of boring life you are afraid of, you don't like. To live with God and to thank God and don't be involved in this exciting program or the bad news. Then what's the meaning? Number 10. And just remember that. That lady, which is not Coptic Orthodox, forgiveness. Forgiveness of everybody. But if you don't forgive, endorphins are secreted in your brain and your body, which then is the immune system. If somebody hurt you and you don't forgive, you pay for that. If you don't forgive, you pay. Here on earth and in eternity. But in earth, your body suffers from insomnia, from pressure, blood pressure, from stroke, stem of vessels, just because this endorphin just decreased because of the lack of forgiveness, non-forgiveness. So she decided, whatever happens to me, I have to forgive everybody. And guess what? After 18 months of that program, the whole tumor disappeared from her body. The tumor disappeared. And she's living for over 25 years now, still alive. And her mother, who was in her 80s, she was nearly 60, and her mother was nearly early 80s, so the mom came. And the mom was complaining of hypertension, high cholesterol, and certain rheumatic disease in her joint and muscles, and she was taking lots of pills and tablets. The mom came and asked to be involved in my program. She said, I'm not a rabbit. You want to eat carrot and drink carrot? No, I'm not going to do that. She said, you are going to, against your own will, you will be. And she forced her. In 2 weeks after stopping all the medication, all the lab investigation showed a great difference. It was better. Improvement. She forced her children and her husband to go through that, for us, an easy program. So, how to cope with pressure and stress? The way we eat, the way we drink, the way we exercise and sleep, and then the way spiritually, our spiritual life, how deal with stress is mainly spiritual, as the lady has found. So it's not only cancer, but how to cope. So stressors, if I count three stressors, they are numerous, so many. I will list them again. But whatever we teach people who come to see me, how to deal with your anxiety and stress. Of course, it's so easy to take tablets for stress. We call it anti-anxiety, anti-depression medication. Everybody in the United States, 80% of the population are taking so many of those SSRIs, like Prozac and Paxil and Zoloft and Effexor and Wellbutrin, whatever. One tablet a day and you feel so good. And these are not tranquilizers. These are mood stabilizers. You understand the mood? The mood is anxious or depressed, our mood. Is there any lady here who has PMS? Is your wife has PMS? No cyclic change in the mood, everything. I'm talking to husbands. If your wife has PMS, which means just 7 days in a month in that kind of bad mood, I mean, as if she is putting on top of her head, don't come close, or else I was responsible for this happen to you. Her personality changes. She becomes so vulnerable for any stressor. All the month, she's so happy, as if she's living in life. Actually, the week before, for 10 days before the period, she's living through the darkness. Cranky, blood pressure, nervous, depressed. Nobody could come to her and talk to her. Her children, her poor husband, and which means one quarter or one third of their life, they are living in such a bad mood. And there is no treatment for PMS. Let us do what I said, that program. But if you want to take that tablet, fine. I'm not against medication, but it might help. But what's going to help too with what I have said, or what I said, those 10 issues? I will give you some exercises now, which will help you to deal with your stress. You want it? Sometimes I sit in front of you with someone, but yeah. Number one, the way we talk. The way we talk. I could now present to you in a certain way which all of you could get so sleepy. The monotonous. I say, do you want to know the exercises which could help you to deal with stress? If a lecturer is doing that, I assure you, the whole lecture room are going to be in fast deep sleep after 10 minutes. So, which means, sleep means what? Means tranquility, calmness. So why not use that way to benefit us? Not to be jumpy, but the way I talk, it has to be in a lower voice and slower. But don't do it, don't overdo it. Because you will overdo it. Yes, you will be much calmer, and people around you will be also much calmer. So the way I talk could cause an anxiety for myself and others. If I'm talking fast, very fast and very loud. Remember when you're angry? You're very fast, fast and very loud. You get stressed and you squeeze inside you. Your adrenaline is rushing and people around you are getting so stressed. Just give an example. When I teach relaxation, which is coming in that program, now. I have to talk with the one in front of me in a monotonous way. Intentionally, I do it in a monotonous way. Am I so monotonous now with you? Okay. I should be, I won't. I don't want to lose you. Okay. So, the way I talk in my life has to change. Get any good example in front of you? Someone who talks in a very good way. If you listen to anyone who's preaching, giving a sermon, he has to say word by word and stress the end, emphasize the end of each word. Not necessarily he will raise his voice, lower his voice, but he talks slower, with power, and his voice and his tone, he could control it. So, lower and slower is the way you speak. This is number one. Number two, breathing exercises. Which means, if you are sitting now, if you take deep breath and hold it inside you, feel like that, I will take a deep breath and hold it, and then I will let it go. And compare the tightness of the muscles in your body. See? the mothers are more relaxed with I kept the air in or out. Muscle became relaxed with the air out or in. Out. Everybody knows that. Just take a deep breath and hold it. You feel all your muscles getting tight, which means in your body. Tight muscles means more adrenaline secreted in the circulation, more anxiety. So every 2 hours or 3 hours, do that simple exercise. Take a deep breath in, even when you're working, and get it out very slowly, like that. And you could count on your fingers. See, I will take the breath in full. I am getting it out very slowly. If I take it fast and then I can't hold it, I can't get it out slowly. So you say, he has an anxiety. The one who cannot hold it for long, he has an anxiety. So train yourself to get breathe in full, like that. And then get out very slowly, interrupted, like that. But slowly. Till you see that your muscles are getting relaxed, which means all the air is out. Then start, then again, do it 5 times. You clean the system from the adrenaline. Number 3, if the muscles are contracted, adrenaline is secreted, which is the hormone for anxiety. And all those heart attacks and the vessels, the spasm and stroke. Then, number 3, spot the muscles in your body which are contracted for no reason. Some, when they are driving, they are holding the steering wheel in a way, they feel that, I feel that they are going to get it out. And they are bending forward like this, not going back. No. They are going to go to that. And they are so tense. If they are driving automatic cars, the left leg is already contracted, the calf and the foot is not relaxed, are so contracted. Although they are using only one foot. While you are sitting right now, you see that your shoulders are tight, your neck muscles are tight, your calf muscles tight, the under surface of the foot is tight. Are you grinding your teeth? What the other hand is doing? Your fist is contracted. What are you doing? So, relax the muscles which are contracted for no reason while you are sitting. Some of us, when we are brushing our teeth, sometimes we break the toothbrush. Did it happen to you before? From the strength. I'm so violent in brushing my teeth. And when I do it, I don't do it this way. I move from my waist, from the shoulder, from the elbow. The whole body is moving. Why? I am using so many muscles for no reason. To do it with the least number of muscles. Muscles which are contracted for no reason add more adrenaline to the circulation. How many is it now? The way we talk? breathing subsides, and you spot the muscles which are contracted for no reason, and then relax. And number four, I will keep one exercise because it's not, they teach you in general to count, you know, when you are stressed, count 1 to 20, 1 to 50. So silly, of course. And anybody could still thinking and counting 1, 2, 2, 3. If you want to go through that mountain, I call it mountain to distract yourself, distracting surprise. Usually the dentist, when you go to them, is going to break you, you know. Anybody see a dentist? So many see a dentist. They will tell you, okay, hold your hand like that, grab at you, and pull with power, power, one, two, power, and then you will break you. He's distracting you. So how to distract your mind? An exercise counts from 100 down by 7. Not 2, not 3, not 5. 100. 93. What after 93? You will think, minus 7, what will be? 86? Count by 7. Then 86 minus 7, what will be? What? 79. 79 minus 7 will be? 72. 72 minus 7 will be? What is the age? And so focus on counting. It's by 7. But say by 2 or 5, it's so easy. To distract your mind from thinking in an issue, you could count down 100 down by 7. Or, when you finish it, you turn 200 down by 7. Then your mind is focused on the nonsense, counting. But actually, you are distracting your mind from thinking that that lady, what she's thinking of me, that man, what's going to do for me, my dad, my God, Abuna, my mind is thinking, my work, my boss. So, distracting your mind for some time, of course it's nonsense, if that's right. But just to count down by 7 if you want to do that. Exercise after that is total body relaxation. Total body relaxation from head to toe. Do it twice a day. Once in the morning and once when you sleep. How to relax all the muscles from head to toe and start by your feet. And muscle focusing. I can do to one of you here, twice up there. But if you have carbon in the chest, correct? You do it in convention, I do it. But if you come to my office, I will teach you how to relax. And the second piece, how to relax all your muscles from toes to head. From the forehead, the eyes, the cheek, the neck, the body, the trunk, and the arm from hand to shoulder, and from the toes to the hip. I start by the left foot, toes, the ankle, then calf, knee, thigh, and then legs. Your mind focus on that. And then the other right. Then forget about the two lower extremities. And muscles of your tummy and your back, just relax it, contract it, then relax it. Then the left hand, left wrist, relax, then relax it, then relax it, and tighten the muscles of the forearm, the arm, and then let it go. Let it go, let it relax in a position comfortable first. And then the right. Then relax your neck, your forehead, your cheek, the eyelids must be just merely touching, and you look down, and by your eyeball, and your teeth not touching. lips and teeth are not touching. And it stays in that position with regular breathing. This is the beginning of relaxation. But about your mind? Your mind is still thinking. Then the last exercise, number 6, is called mental relaxation. Mental relaxation is while you are totally physically relaxed, you think of something with Christ. You have read part in the Bible, say, feed the multitude. You read that part, so many were listening to the Lord Jesus Christ, and fountains came, and they don't have food to feed them. Let them go and buy food. No, get them food. We don't have. Here a small lad, what he has is 5 loaves of barley bread, small loaves of barley bread, and 2 fish. That young lad came and gave it to Jesus Christ. After Philip thought of 200 denarii, not sufficient to get them bread, the accountant of the 12 disciples, and everybody is thinking, hell, you are reading that as if you are in the scene or in a TV screen in front of you. You are reading as if you are with Jesus in that scene. He asked them to feed them, the people, in groups of 50 or 100. Just think with me now. How many they were? And that miracle, how many? 5,000 men. And with their wife, how many? 10,000. If every family had 2 children, then how many? 20,000. 20,000. To seize them in groups of 100. Say 100 by 100, other groups say in lines, like phrase something coming out of Jesus. Each line, you have 10 groups, each group 100. Then each line, how many? 1,000. Then how many lines will be? 20 lines. You are seeing that. You are seeing the disciples grouping the people and seating them on the grass in groups 100 or 50, say 100 easier, to have lines, each line 10 groups, each group 100. What time did they take to see them? The Bible is not mentioned that. And then but you are now seeing how long it takes. And then the Lord Jesus Christ took the bread and the fish and raised his eye. He thanked, and then he divided and gave to the disciples, to his people. He's breaking the bread and the fish and giving the 12 disciples to go and give the feast. Just imagine the Lord taking and dividing and giving, dividing and giving. Say, one little bread, if you cut half of it, it will get bigger again. Half of it, it will increase again. It doesn't finish. And he's giving that, and you are looking by your eyes with the food which is not finishing. And they are taking and going to the people to give them, and return and take and give, return. How long did it take to feed those 20,000? Going and returning, going and returning. The Bible is not mentioned there. But you are observing what's happening. And it's a movie in front of you. Another day has finished, another group of collecting back the remaining, what remains from the food. And their basket, they filled it. So every disciple took a basket and went collecting. Everybody was full, and the remaining filled 2 huge baskets. then you are something like this. See, there's a multitude. And when you are so relaxed, you are seeing the Lord Jesus is seated in a hill, and in front of him, the people are not divided into groups, and the sun is getting away, and they are hungry, and they are asking him what to do, asking him, let them go to get and buy food. No, you give them, and you are reading the lines, or you do the lines, and you are seeing what's happening. It would take you at least 15-20 minutes thinking of that event. Your brain is so focused on an event happening in 5 or 6 lines. Any miracle, think of it as if you are there. But the miracle contains the Lord Jesus Christ doing something. And your brain, what it puts, is so focused on the Lord Jesus Christ involved in that miracle. Which means your brain is not wandering, thinking with slow mind. But whatever, no, it's focused on the Lord Jesus Christ doing something. Or, if you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, in your prayers, and you could visualize him talking to you, comforting you, and with certain verses in the Bible, and some could go while they are relaxed, and the Lord Jesus Christ will come and sit close by their bed, and he will hold their hands to put his hand on the forehead, and then he will start talking to you, calming you down. I do it with someone who's totally relaxed. I continue talking in that monotonous voice that the Lord now is telling you that you are so dear, you are so precious, and you are so protected by his grace. Don't worry, everything is under his control. And you are looking to Jesus Christ with his lighted face, and everything is under control in your room. The aim is just to get your mind relaxed and thinking only of the person of Lord Jesus Christ, either in a miracle, in event, or talking to you. Or thinking of heaven. The Lord is seated on the throne, and angels and all this, when you love, the saints are there, and so lighted, no darkness, no crying, no pain, and so luminous. Everything is glorious, and you are thinking into that. Chapter 4 and 5 Revelation, added to part of 20 and 21 and 22 Revelation. You are thinking, but focus away from what you were thinking before. So focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is mental relaxation for 15 to 20 minutes, plus your body relax. This will completely, in this 15-20 minutes, it will drain completely any remaining adrenaline in your body. But if your mind is working while your body is relaxed, you still, the adrenaline is secreted, and then you reach the total body relaxation and mental relaxation. It is the effect of at least equal to the effect of good 3 hours sleep. Good 3 hours sleep effect on your body. I'm saying good because some of you sleep in a very crooked way, and you wake up, all your muscles are aching. Well, these 20 minutes could get you the effect of good sleep. And when I do it with clients who come to me, when they woke up from that relaxation, they feel all their body is heavy. So I tell them, don't jump from bed. Open your eyes slowly and move your hands and toes slowly, and move very, very slowly. Because surely you have hypotension, blood pressure is lower. and you feel cold, then cover yourself. So you go in that exercise. Real effect in hypothermia, but if your body is cold, you need to be covered, and you are busy. And so many, while I'm giving them that exercise, they snore. It's clear. I will finish. By the way, I was not planning to tell you all that. I don't know why I'm saying that. Okay. Are you enjoying it now?
Yeah.
Okay. Something precious to your life. I remember a case. They took her to the emergency room and she was pregnant. I was 6 months pregnancy, and she was getting out of drugs. She was taking cocaine. And in the withdrawal process, she became so cranky. She doesn't want to take drugs. They took her to the emergency room. They found that she's pregnant. Then nobody was able to give her any medication fearing the pregnancy. They called me. They told me, please, we're coming soon. Somebody advised us to come to you. And then they came. The lady did not sleep for 2 nights. Up, very tense. This is a withdrawal from the drug. Accompanied by her sister. So I told her, okay, get to that table of the bed. And her sister was standing close by to see what I'm going to do to her. I started relaxing her. Yeah, I'm not hypnotizing. I don't have anything to do with hypnosis. I'm just talking with her in a very monotonous way, how to focus on her left toes, up and down, up and down, then the ankle up and down, up and down, and then let your foot rest in the position comfortable to it. Then tighten your calf, make it go in that way. In 5 minutes, the lady was sleeping. Really sleep. What happened more is her sister. she was standing. I found her going back to her seat and this is so, yes, it has very calming and relaxing effect. You could agitate others by the way you talk, or you could calm them down. You relax them. I myself, I feel, of course, I'm so relaxed when I do that. Especially when the mental relaxation comes and I speak about the Lord Jesus Christ doing something. And I told you, I prefer to say visualization, not imagination, because we imagine something fiction, but the presence of the Lord in our life is a reality. Then, with all these spiritual resources, physical, what the spirit servant did, what I'm saying to you, it helps you to cope with external stressors. Peer pressure. If you are not assertive, another exercise. If you are not assertive enough, which means you can't say no. You don't know how to say no. Do you have peer assertiveness training? For the college, for the young graduates, yeah? Assertiveness training. Have you had assertiveness? Assertiveness, it has assertiveness, how to be firm. Firm in the way you answer. Not passive, not aggressive. Not passive, not aggressive, but assertive. You understand me? Yes or no? Okay. You know the super nanny? That show? She talks in an assertive way. Firm and loving. Firm. When you talk in a firm way, or you learn how to use your tone of voice and your eye contact and your facial expression and body language to tell the one in front of you, I mean what I'm saying. The way you talk to your spouse, your children, your boss, your friends is different in assertiveness. Because you will not be rude, you'll be very polite, but firm. As I'm giving just a funny example, the way we communicate, those passive communicators, if someone will put his foot on your foot, see the business crowd, and you forgot and put his foot, and he forgot about his foot on top of your feet. And it's a very crowded place. The passive, you remember the buses in Egypt? Remember that? Anybody went to Egypt and took a bus in the old days? So, if someone will do something wrong to you, and then you say to yourself, yes, you will be tired, and after a few minutes, you will take off his foot. So you need to tell him, yes, no, going to damage my foot. I don't think he's breaking any bone. Haram, let him break. The passage is shy of saying, please get off your foot. Get your foot off my foot. Would you please? The passive communicator is very shy to say what you want to say in situation. The aggressive is the opposite. Because anybody is aggressive. If someone touch him or touch her, he will see that you are coming to do this and he will jump into you aggressively. Don't even try. And then you will stop. The assertive is in the middle between passive and aggressive. You'll be able to answer and say your opinion, your thoughts, your feelings, and your needs in a polite way, not in a rude way. This is assertiveness. You mean what you say. This is so important to learn it, to deal with pressure of others on you. You say, how to say no. It needs to be learned. Do we teach here in this course here system assertiveness? No, usually they teach it in the way they talk in the schools. If you don't have it, or you're not raised to learn that, get any assertive training course. And there are certain books, CDs, and tapes about Christian assertiveness. Assertiveness training. And they tell you how to use the tone of your voice to say or to mean whatever you are saying. Firm but polite way. This is assertiveness. It's very important to deal with people around you. Most of the Egyptians are either passive or aggressive. Yes, nobody told us to be assertive. I mean, nobody told us that. But it's good to learn it. You go to, you know, those cashiers in any shopping center, you go to the supermarket, and you're always smiling, but try to do anything wrong. You're telling them, what they are smiling? In a very polite way, what you want to hear. They want you to hear. When you are driving, and the policeman will come to give you a ticket, he's very assertive. It's a hard life. Very assertive. Yeah, ma'am, would you please give me that your driver's license? And his voice is so firm, polite, and quiet. He doesn't shout, doesn't yell. And you have to give the respect of the car and the insurance of the car and the driver license, and you give the ticket by how many pounds, I don't know. And then, hey, he's very firm, he's assertive. So, learning assertiveness is so important. Something else. I cannot help the situation in my family if dad and mom are quarreling together. I think whatever they want to say, I can't tell them, stop! What do you mean? You're hurting me! I can't do that. If you are assertive, you could say in a polite way. Family troubles. The level of your marital satisfaction affects your children, not only you. Marital dysfunction, family dysfunction affects everybody. Pressure. At least know that you are putting pressure on those around you. If you are anxious, if you are yelling, if you are angry, or if you are avoiding communication, if you are neglecting the others around you, you are putting pressure on them. If anybody is not listening to his or her spouse, mostly her spouse, or his son, somebody is not listening to his or her spouse, most of the cases, yeah, most of the man was not listening, or the woman was not listening. The man. So, dear fellow men, if you are not listening, your stressed wife, their stress will get more and more. And the result, the consequence, will be, I assure you, will come to you back. I assure you that. In our country, we say, most probably, you will sit in the garage. Which means you will not be able to tolerate what will happen. So the best way, let her to vent, to talk. It helps if you are a good listener to children or your spouse. Because God ordered us to marry men, we have to marry women. And all women, almost women are the same. When they are stressed, they vent it out through talking. So why not to be the victim to help them? You are the husband. if you can't do that, others will listen to her. Better for you to be the listener than others. So, marital dysfunction, family dysfunction, called stress. In order to feel accepted by peers and respected, sometimes you are forced to imitate them, to conform to what they are asking you to do, putting pressure on you. But I told you, security, the way I spoke in an assertive way, a relationship with family helps in dealing with peer pressure. And faulty thinking means negative self-talk. If I do that, they are going to upset me. I know I get to that person. How to do that? He will never upset me. She will never upset me. She's my friend, but she's talking to other ones. She's now, I'm going to lose her. I'm going to lose him. This faulty thinking about our acceptance and respect by others and being loved, this thing that the self talk could be also regarding spiritual issues. So dealing with that, further confession could help in that issue. How about media? The media. I'm talking about now in particular body image and women. What is the best way, or what is the best weight now, the ideal weight for women? What's the ideal weight for women? 40 kilograms? You are laughing. And the fashion, the style, are putting pressure on you to spend on designer. It's a certain kind of clothes you have to wear, you know, in order to be going with the fashion. And you say, okay, no, I will get that dress and I will lose weight just to wear it. How many dresses do you have with the stick still on and not wear it? Because you are getting something really nice and aiming, hoping that you lose weight. And then you are left viewing. You lose and gain. You lose and gain. There are so many dresses which maybe he wasn't once or twice. And can't wear them, of course. And for our fellow men, the pants, you know the waist? You are getting more and more and more. Nobody, except those who are very rigid with themselves, their waist is still, say, the number is 30, 32, 28, something like that. Of course, a lot of the increase, our numbers, that are not in the system, but other systems are 10 numbers more. See, in Egypt, in the United States, say 40 is 50 in Egypt. 50 is England, or, yes, I don't know, but the numbers help to keep your weight, which means help to keep yourself healthy. So pressure of the media to do certain behavior. Materialism. Looking to others. Cars, what cars they have. What they are wearing. Kind of phone they have. The money. The finances is so much of a pressure on some. You don't have money, how are we going to eat? I refer them to Matthew 6. Go and read Matthew 6. And you know, don't worry. But what you are wearing, what you are eating, because God gives us. Work and God will add to you. Do all this, think first of what? Verse 33. Think first and the kingdom of heaven, and all these will be added to you. All these. Thank you. And 34, that chapter, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. So, the worry about the money and the finances and all the material. Materialistic life. Some prefer to live without any responsibility. They live without any responsibility. They don't like to be responsible for anything, about chores at home, or any responsibility in their life, or even they don't like to work. They are irresponsible. Because responsibility for them, it puts pressure on them. Why? I have money. Why to be responsible? Computer. I'm going fast. Computer. You think computer and computer games could be a source of excitement and stress? How many hours you spend in front of that computer screen? How many hours every day? It's an addiction. And I'm talking about good internet, not other websites. Some are playing games, and there's something called now computer game addiction. How many hours you spend in front of a computer? I mean, glued to the small screen of a computer. It adds to your loneliness and stress if you are involved in something very exciting very exciting, which means adrenaline rush in your body, and you understand what I mean. The majority of computer games, are they good games? Or full of violence? Or your games here are so good? The majority are not, and they are rating them according to age. About the violence and the physical and the killing and... So, computer games and of course the unholy website, the porn. All these all add to the stress on our system, our body. Addictive. Very addictive. So how many hours you spend in front of a computer and what you are doing in front of a computer? Entertainment in general. Some are used, addicted to entertainment. How many mobiles do you have? Do you use mobile? Cell phone? Do you remember the days when we were having no phone even at home? Do you remember these days? Were we functioning at that time? Do you remember the days, some of you are wild, remember the days when there was no TV and no radio? Could you now live without mobile, without phone, without TV, without radio? Could you? No, you can't. You became so addicted. Okay, try it for just 1 week. And some they could even live without a wristwatch. If you go to a retreat area, he'll ask you not to look at the time, no phone, no computer, no radio, no TV, and live 3 days as if you are in heaven. No worry. So we are adding stress to our life by these. Thank you, because most probably you're off your mobile. Thank you for that. But in the church it's very annoying when mobile starts to buzz and ring. But listening always to mobile, I don't carry mobile, thank God. Because if I carry mobile, I will be busy day and night, and I'm busy already. But you could get to anywhere in the world by that small teeny device. You can't hide. You cannot. You could get here. And some of you are carrying too. In Egypt, preschoolers, they have mobile. Why? Because mom wants to call them in the recess to be sure that they're okay. The preschooler, not elementary school, in primary school. So, we are adding stress by so much electronics in our life. So much. Success. Some are so compulsive, obsessed by success. And some see success as something very stressful for them. You don't like to challenge, don't want to compete, don't want to study. And some are so compelled. And both of them, you feel stressed. Those are obsessed by success, or obsessed by structured organizations, they get so anxious if they can't do that. Or those who have obsessive compulsive disorders. They get so stressed. And as I told you, sometimes you got stressed in the church instead of breaking out. These are some sources of stress. And I told you in the beginning how to cope and deal with stress in general in your life. You have any questions? Sorry to take that long for you. I hope you benefit something to do it in your life. You're welcome. Okay. If you don't have questions, we could pray.
Some questions here?
Yes.
Is sarcasm an aggressive type of humor?
11.
The second one, what is your view about sarcasm from your whole life experience? From a Christian perspective.
Humor is different than self-care. But even using humor, not in the appropriate time and place and person, could be very stressful. Sarcasm is what I say, in Arabic. Arabic, right? Sarcasm, or a sarcastic way, could be very humiliating. Could be very humiliating to others. I could humiliate someone by being sarcastic. So, first, the one who gave that question, wrote that question, most probably he or she, I don't know who or she, is complaining that someone around her is sarcastic. Or someone around him is sarcastic. So, yes, originally we are used to be sarcastic. And this is in a way, a wrong way of communication. It's humiliating, especially if the other party will say, I don't like it. So, if I really respect and love others around me, I'm not going to be sarcastic with them, making fun of them. In a way, I think I would be funny, but actually, I am putting them down and I am humiliating them. So, from my experience, humor could be good if used. But even cracking jokes with someone who is agonizing, not in the appropriate time, but appropriate place, it could be stressful. Of course, sarcasm is much more painful.
What about continuous pressure that does not go? Or you can change. You can cope for certain time, but not forever. How can you do this?
No, what I told you about the exercise of coping, this changed your lifestyle. It changes your way of dealing with stressors. The way you talk, breathing, muscle focusing, relaxation, mental relaxation or meditation, these are exercises which help you in general to deal with continuous pressure. But if you are pressured at work, say you are working 14, 12 hours a day continuously, one day you're going to burn out. Burnout syndrome means you'll be so stressed, which you could reach, if it would continue, to a nervous breakdown. If someone is agonizing you at work continuously or at home, and you don't know how to deal with that continuously, we have this technique we call filtering technique. Filtering, which means as if I'm putting filter paper on my ears. I allow only what I want to get in and others not to get in. As if I'm not there. I imagine that, say, that the one in front of me is cursing, distant, or saying whatever. I will try to see the Lord, because the Lord Jesus Christ standing behind him, opening his arms, smiling at me and talking to me. So I'm looking at you, but actually I'm looking to the one behind you. And as if I'm not there, I am filtering what you are saying. I hear, but it does not go in. And it is not for me. And you are cursing. And while that's happening, you have to relax your body. So there are certain techniques which could help someone under extreme pressure at work or at home, using some of those techniques. The spiritual way is the best way how to relate to your Savior supporting you as the main resource of support to you, how it's comforting you. Refer to Isaiah 66 verses 13 and 14. How the Lord could comfort us like a mother comforting her son. So I could recite a psalm, I could recite a prayer. While something is happening, I could go by my mind into something very peaceful, like a sea shore or greenery or the desert and the mountain and a monastery, ready to sing. Certain view, a church which is empty, and while I'm praying, I could go by my mind while the Spirit was coming. There's a certain period between the stimulus and response, the SR time, stimulus and response. And there's a point in the middle, we call it the point of no return, which means if I could hold myself when the Spirit was coming to me and leave the room physically or mentally or psycho-emotionally, before reaching the point of no return, the stressor is not going to affect me. My response will not be bad. But if I pass that point of no return, I will explode, or I will get angry, I will panic. So for each one, in dealing with the pressure, I know my limits. When I will get so stressed, a minute, half a minute, 2 minutes, and when I feel it getting into me, my hand, my muscle getting tighter, blood going up, sinking sensation in my stomach, when I start to feel that, get out, either physically or psycho-emotionally from the situation, before the point of no return, if you are under pressure. Of course, in certain situations, if you can, and we have the right to deal with others or the environment, who could help. But I cannot rely on correcting the environment around me. I cannot control it myself only. I can't control others or the environment. But if the situation is in your marriage, then, okay, Abuna or a counselor could help both of you. But if you are at work, you can't correct the environment around you. And those who panic easily, with stress easily, even driving in rush hour could stress them. Anything could stress them.
I found a computer game helps me to avoid thinking about my problems. What do you think?
To that person, I'm saying cocaine also helps. Heroin helps. Alcohol helps. We are numbing ourselves by these addictive agents. The same could apply to any addictive agent. The effect of addiction is the same on the body, which is the excitement, the adrenaline rush, and its deleterious harmful effect on the body. So I am numbing myself because I cannot deal with the situation. Better deal with the relationship which is holding there. Ask for help. Ask the help of someone who could help you in there. But don't put yourself in a situation which you can't get out of it. Everybody could numb themselves temporarily to reach a temporary status of well-being using an addictive agent. Computer games are very addictive. So addiction, and if you get addicted, your will get weakened, and good news for you, if your will will get weaker, you will move from one addiction to another, because your will is already weakened. You could change the computer game into other websites, computers, into alcohol, into drugs, into compulsive behavior. All of them are addictive. Eating disorders, money, gambling, or being obsessed by beauty, or obsessed by sex, or obsessed by so many things. So you change from addiction to another. The source is the will. If the will gets weakened, you change from one addiction to another. And all of them are addictive agents.
It is not a question, it's only a command. The way you look can do miracles. I use that to get my patients so calm and relaxed just before they go to leave for an operation.
Thank you.
There is a bad habit in my life, which I know it is a pagan God, and that makes me so nervous and so uncomfortable, and repeating it again and again makes me forget my thoughts. I can find peace and then all the choice made.
I assure you, there's a way out. There's a way, 100%, there's a way out. Because we have programs for all those addictive habits or habits. I understand what you're talking about, and there is a way. And there's a certain program to get out of this habit. It could be innate to you or to your father's confession, which could help you to go through it, and it would help. You could ask your father's confession, and there is innate for them program to help you on that.
My husband makes me to feel a failure in everything I do or in anything I say. I feel that I need to get out of this life. I feel useless. I feel that my life doesn't work anything. Not even
country. I feel sorry for you, Paul. But first of all, you have to know yourself worth. You have to know yourself worth. I talk about self worth in Scotland. And some of you here listen to it for the last Sunday. And you could get that, I think it was a tape, it was recorded. But you have to know your self-worth, your real self-worth. Because I know the effects of negative comments. Or living with anybody who is a perfectionist and demanding, and nothing is enough. With negative comments or negative labeling, you face that. First, everybody is unique and significant, and your worth is so much. I can't deal with that now, but it is important. But I know some people could reach this stage, could reach down to the extent they want to get rid of their life. Yes, I hear that commonly. It's so common, so frequent. The health is for you. But I don't change your man unless he will come healing for you. He will come and ask for help. The help is for you to know your value. Your value and acceptance, you know it, because you are unconditionally accepted and loved by your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have a relationship with Him, you are praying, you are reading your Bible, you are meditating, you will feel that you are far better. If two swallows are sown with one copper coin, and one of them cannot reach the ground unless our Father in Heaven allows that to happen, then how much do you know that the hair of your head are numbered? See, that your cells are numbered. Every hair for every cell is valuable to your Heavenly Father in Heaven. So you have to know your worth. I know self-defeating comments could affect, could damage, but are far much more important than the depression of getting in. Your life, the Lord Jesus Christ paid His life for you. He died for your sake in order to live with joy. Our marriages are temporary. Are so temporary. We have to go through it, whatever it is, but I don't lose myself. Each one of you is married to two husbands, men and wife. We have two marriages, a spiritual marriage, a heavenly one, and an earthly one, as I'm going to talk to you tomorrow. We have the groom of our soul, and we have our spouse. If your spouse is not satisfying you, you have another one who is permanent 24/7 satisfying you. Your father confession could help you in doing that. But be sure that your real groom is there before your earthly marriage and after your earthly marriage. Is there, and your spiritual marriage is eternal. You'll continue to be in Heaven the bride for that heavenly groom. So be careful. If you focus on the misery, you will get misery. If you focus and aim at the suffering, you will go into hardship. But if you open your eyes to see your real groom, the way he's talking to you, the way he's comforting you, the way he is raising you from the trash to sit with the holy, we don't deserve that. But he did it for us, and he's doing it. We don't deserve the communion, but graciously he's giving that Himself to us, and He's supporting us. So the outlet from the situation you are describing is through knowing your worth. Whether a man or a woman, we have to know our worth, our self-worth, and our uniqueness and significance God wants us to be, and communicate with Him, with the heavenly groom. If our spouses are not satisfying us, but as I told you, our marriage on earth here is so short compared to the eternal marriage. God bless you.
I'm troubled by my thoughts. My thoughts do not give me peace. I can't escape from my thoughts. It's fixed and it's so shaking me.
That person is talking about negative self-talk. Negative self-talk. I'm a failure. I'm doomed to fail. I don't deserve. I feel not loved. I will be not loved ever. I didn't deserve to live. Why I'm living? I think this life is worthless. Why I'm here? Why I'm born? It was a tragedy when I was born. I still want to die. I know that I'm not going to succeed. Negative self-talk. Negative self-talk. How to change it? I have to write these negative self-talks. And I have to write when I get it. In which situation and with whom. And I will see and I will read the opposite of it. The opposite of this negative self-talk has to be positive. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. With Him, I'm not a failure. With Him, I will never fail. I will do my best and He does the rest. My life is in Christ. For me to live is Christ. Christ, my heavenly groom, is always with me and is supporting me. Irrespective of the situation, He is the Pentecostal Creator. He could control everything for me. And if I'm suffering now, this is for a reason, short time, in order for Him to strengthen my spiritual skills. He will change the situation for sure. There is light after this time. There is always light after darkness. His sun, the sun will shine. Positive self-talk instead of negative self-talk. And I will be accepting that situation or meeting with that particular person. In that situation, these negative self-talk come to me. Or because of a certain habit in my life. Or because of a certain way of lifestyle. Or because of a certain substance I'm taking. All these negative self-talks affect me. Then I list the negative self-talk and the opposite of it, the positive self-talk, and I see when, with whom, where these negative self-talks come, and I will just deal with it one by one. And when I will reach any success, I will focus on that. See, I dealt with that situation. He was with me, and He is with me always, about God. I will deal with others. So I evaluate, assess my progress, my positive progress in my life. And regarding negative thinking and the positive thinking. I can do all things, although I am so weak, but I can do all things Christ has done for me. And I will never be without Christ because He's supporting me and He is with me all my life and eternally. Positive self-talk helps and affects your progress, positive progress, and it will help you to get encouraged and you continue. This was the last question. Thank you so much and pray for me and see you tomorrow.
Thank you very much for coming in. Tomorrow will be 8:30, and then we can have a program now that for you. Try to come early so that we can all enjoy the presence of the family day. After we finish, there is a gallery for all of us, so we can go to the tent and can we all share together the energy? It is now
Zeka wa dini Happy Holi. I believe that. نعم هذا رايح في 11 ما تكلمت معك شيء
I'm George. Thank you so much for this lovely
Whoops.